The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
This evening. And that is that warm-hearted feeling, that appreciation, just like we see for those that are helping the hurricane victims. You know, it kind of warms our heart to see other people behave in a warm-hearted, generous way. And so that's what this practice, loving kindness practice, is to cultivate so that we can be the ones that are helping others if that's what's called for, or that we can delight in others helping others if that's what's called for, or that we can just more readily have this warm feeling in our heart and have it be part of how we live our life, how we make decisions, how we interact with those around us, how we think about the world events. And this is something that I absolutely love about the Buddhist practices, is that it can be cultivated. We don't have to wait for a disaster and to see people behaving in a kind, generous, warm-hearted way. We can cultivate it, and so that this feeling will naturally arise in all kinds of situations. So for those of you who have been coming here regularly, know that we've been doing loving kindness for a benefactor and for ourselves. And if we are going to do loving kindness for ourselves, to really do it in a deep, really deep way, requires that we, this maybe real love, real kindness for ourselves, it requires that we include every aspect of our lives. Maybe we're not there yet, but that's what the cultivation of this practice allows. So this means the good, the bad, quote-unquote, the difficult, the challenging, the past, the uncertain future, as well as some of those things that we've done in the past that we have regret about, maybe remorse about, that we include that too, because everything we've done in our past, especially some of those things that we have regret or remorse, maybe I shouldn't say especially, but including those, they have they leave an emotional fingerprint or an emotional residue on us, so they're part of who we are also. So practicing loving kindness for ourselves includes being able to include all these different aspects, all our different experiences. And in the same way, wisdom is about seeing clearly without rose-colored glasses, without pretending things aren't there, and not just seeing clearly without exaggerating the bad or exaggerating the good, just seeing clearly. In the Buddhist tradition, and this Buddhist tradition in particular, that's wisdom. So in this way, loving kindness and wisdom work together. They're about seeing clearly. In the case I'm talking about, seeing ourselves clearly, seeing that we're a mixture. And then being able to hold all of that, accept it in some way. Doesn't mean that we're going to condone it and repeat it, but not try to excise portions of ourselves and disown it. If any of you have ever tried it, you may discover that, in fact, it doesn't work. Right, where I think there's a book, right? Wherever you go, there you are. Right? So in the same way, if we try to run away from parts of ourselves, it's just not possible. Nor is that the way forward. The way forward is to use wisdom and to use kindness and to see things as they actually are. So to help cultivate loving kindness, we're going to to loving kindness practice this evening, starting with a benefactor. That is, we're going to start where it's easiest. So much about Buddhist practice has this sense of, I use this expression, I don't know if it's accurate, kind of scale and variability. That is, learning to have a warm heart, cultivate a warm heart in a place that's easy, is the exact same skill as with somebody, maybe doing loving kindness towards somebody who's difficult or maybe even neutral, somebody that we don't know. It's the same skill. So what we practice, let's practice with where it's easy so it becomes not a struggle to do it, not difficult, that our minds and hearts get used to doing that. And then it just naturally can happen at, for more and more individuals. So what we learn with simple and where it's easy is the exact same skill that we would apply in other situations. So we'll start with loving kindness for a benefactor. And so often this is a person for whom you have an uncomplicated relationship with, which often means you don't know them well, which may be a spiritual leader. For many people, it is a spiritual leader, but it could also be somebody just for whom it's easy to feel love towards. Somebody recently told me that she uses her grandson, just that she has so much love and appreciation of her grandson. It just makes her heart sing when she thinks about him. And then if you don't have somebody that comes to mind about it's easy to love, then you can choose another being. Some people choose kittens or puppies or babies. I know somebody who chooses squirrels. Just something, right? We're cultivating a sense in the heart. That's what this is about. And then in this guided meditation, we'll start there and then we'll expand it out to include ourselves. So let's begin by taking alert, upright posture. And choose a posture that's comfortable. You don't want to get into a place where you're struggling with any pain that you can avoid. Have a place. It's my phone that's ringing. I'm just going to let it ring. And let's begin by taking three long, slow, deep breaths. Just to connect with the body. And allow the breath or breathing to return to normal. And trusting that the body knows how to breathe. We don't have to make it happen. And we'll begin by doing a little bit of checking in with the body to see if there's some obvious tension that can soften and perhaps be let go of. Without making a big project of it or thinking that it's we must get rid of all of our tension. Just check in. Often we hold tension in our eyes or jaw. Perhaps with the exhale there can be some softening. There may not be too, that's okay. Maybe the neck or the shoulders. You can check in with the chest and the belly. See if there's some tightness that is extra and doesn't need to be there right now. What about the arms and the hands? and our hips. And legs. And feet. Sometimes just bringing awareness to the different areas of our body can be enough to just allow a little bit more relaxation. We don't have to be perfectly relaxed. Just want to bring some ease. And then let's begin by doing a little bit of mindfulness of breathing. Help us get settled and stabilized. So you can rest your awareness on the movement of the abdomen or the movement of the chest or feeling the air going in and out of the nose. Choose one of those three and just hang out there for a little bit. If you find that your mind is wandering, that's okay. It doesn't have to be a problem. Just very gently, simply, bring it back to the sensations of breathing. Just resting our attention on the movement of the abdomen or the chest, or perhaps the feeling of air going in and out of your nose. And then to do loving kindness practice, bring to mind a benefactor, somebody for whom it's easy to feel love or warmth or care, respect. You can visualize this person, bring them to mind. And then to help create the conditions or to support any warm feelings that may already be there. They may not be there too. We say the phrases. So you can repeat the phrases after me silently in your mind. And see if you can touch into a warm-hearted wish. The intention for your benefactor or perhaps another lovable being to be well, your wish for them to have ease. So you can repeat these phrases in your mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Again, you can bring to mind a benefactor or another lovable being. And you're welcome to modify these phrases. If these ones don't resonate, you can choose different words. And of course, they don't have to be in English. They can be in whichever language speaks your heart's wish. So if you can visualize a benefactor or lovable being, maybe check in with your heart center or wherever else you would feel warmth and care, love. And if there is a warm feeling, allowing it to get as big as it wants to get. Again, we're only creating the conditions in which warm-hearted feelings may arise. We're not trying to make something happen. We don't have to force it. It's okay if there aren't warm feelings arising. There may even be the opposite feelings. If that's the case, see if you can allow your awareness to get really big. And just allow the non-love, the non-warmth feelings to be there while your awareness is really, really big. May you be safe. May you be happy. be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Again, bringing to mind the benefactor. Perhaps visualize this person if that's easy enough for you. And feel into your body, see if there's a warm-heartedness directed towards this person. Just feel how it feels to be warm-hearted. And then to support that feeling, you can continue to say the phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. now we'll allow this warm-hearted feeling, if it is there, to expand and get bigger, to include ourselves, so that we can wish ourselves loving-kindness and happiness. You can have like a felt sense of yourself, perhaps. Some people visualize themselves as a younger version of themselves when they were really young, if they find it difficult to wish themselves love and happiness. And then we just modify or change the pronoun and the phrases to support a feeling of love for ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. In the same way that we have warm-hearted feelings towards a benefactor or another lovable being, in the same way, can we have that sentiment, intention, idea for ourselves? May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. You can check in and see if there's a warm-hearted feeling for yourself. And if so, allowing that to just be there, perhaps getting bigger. Just acknowledge the feeling. We're also, by wishing ourselves well, it's not unusual for perhaps thoughts of things that we have regret about or remorse about to arise. If so, see if you can have some warm-hearted feelings towards those thoughts of remorse or regret. It's part of the human experience. We all make mistakes. See if we can hold them in a kind container. Otherwise, we'll just continue to send well wishes towards ourselves, recognizing that just like all beings, we're worthy of loving kindness. We're worthy of attention. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. In the classical Buddhist teachings, we extend loving kindness wider and wider in a systematic way until we're wishing sincerely loving kindness for all beings. And of course, some beings are suffering. And when our loving kindness meets those beings that are suffering, it just naturally turns to compassion, a wish for their suffering to end. Tonight I feel touched about Hurricane Harvey. So many people in Texas and Louisiana and Mississippi who are suffering. Earlier we talked about the warm-hearted, how people are helping each other. But there's definitely some difficulties too. So can we hold the people of Texas, Mississippi, and Louisiana? They're feeling the effects of this hurricane. Can we send compassion to those who are suffering? And again, compassion is this warm-hearted feeling. It's love when it meets suffering. So the wish for the suffering to end. And just like with loving kindness practice, we can support it by saying phrases. We have phrases for compassion as well. So I'm bringing to mind the people in feeling the effects of Hurricane Harvey, but perhaps there's somebody you know that is suffering. And we can say the phrase, may you be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May you be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May you be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. And then I'll be silent for the last moments here of this meditation. You can do loving kindness for yourself or for others, or maybe send some compassion. Whatever feels the easiest or the most natural. And then to end this meditation, bring your awareness to the pressure of the chair or the cushion on your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So before that meditation, I talked about how love, real love and kindness for ourselves means that we have loving kindness for all aspects of ourselves. And that's part of the practice, is sometimes just the idea of bringing love to all aspects of ourselves highlights all those things that we find it difficult to love about ourselves. That's okay, we can hold them as best we can, right? We start where we are. It's an interesting phenomenon how part of the human condition is we often have aspects of ourselves that are not how we wish they were. But see if we can soften our hearts and with wisdom see things clearly that, yes, we may have made mistakes. Doesn't mean that we are inherently bad people. Or, yes, we do good things in the world and perhaps take care of others. Doesn't mean that we're only good. We're all a mixture. And to have remorse or regret about things that we've done in the past is how we find our way. When we notice, like, oh yeah, that didn't feel good that I did, I yelled at so-and-so, or I didn't do what I said I was going to do, or I don't know, whatever it may be. When we start to, with more mindfulness practice and meditation practice, we start to become more sensitive to the consequences of those things. And we start to perhaps feel regret. And then we just, that feeling of regret or remorse, just naturally, our system, the way our mind bodies work, we just naturally start doing things that won't lead to that unpleasant feeling. So we'll just naturally kind of soften those things that perhaps we've done in the past that's done harm. And we'll find room in our hearts to kind of hold those parts of ourselves that perhaps made mistakes or aren't how we think they should be or something like that. So I would like to explore this a little bit more and invite you guys to explore this a little bit more. So I invite you to get into groups of three and you can have a discussion. But the way that we'll do this discussion is not in a way like you're sitting down for a cup of tea and just having a casual conversation. It's a little bit different. It's going to be structured. And there's no reason here to talk about your deepest, darkest secrets or anything like this, right? Instead, there's a lot of wisdom. All of us have wisdom. And so we can share and learn from each other and maybe appreciate what we already know. And maybe when we hear somebody else say something, we think, oh, yeah, I know that too. So I'm going to ask a question. And how we'll do this in the group of three, one person will start. And just give one answer. I'm going to ask an open-ended question that there'll be lots of different answers to. And then the second person, just give an answer. Simple. It can be one word, one sentence. And then the third person. And then it goes back to the first person again. But now the first person is influenced by what he or she heard earlier. And then the next person. And so there kind of something collectively gets created as you influence each other. So we're not giving advice to each other. We're not at this place. We're just kind of going around the circle, saying things, kind of creating something new this way. So if you wanted to get into groups of three, and then I'll give you the question. You can move the chairs, cushions, whatever. Okay. And so here's the question. So imagine that you are listening to a friend of yours, somebody you care about, and this person is deeply expressing regret, guilt, remorse, maybe self-blame. This person is expressing this to you. How do you respond? What do you do? What do you say when a friend, somebody you care about, is expressing remorse, guilt, self-blame? So the person with the longest hair starts. Thank you, Kristen. So now maybe you can bring to mind something that you have some, that you've criticized yourself, or you have some regret or some remorse or something about. There's no need to go to the worst, baddest thing that you've ever done, but maybe you have some regret. What does that feel like? And then you can reflect on how you treat yourself and what you say to yourself, how is that the same or different than how you treat your friends, somebody that you care about? You don't have to give specifics if you don't want to. You can just share, like, is there a difference between what you do with yourself and with others? And if so, is there a flavor or a pattern to that or something like that? And again, we can go around the circle and share about that. Thank you. Homework. So your homework is, if you discover that, in fact, you are harder on yourself than you are on others, don't be hard on yourself about being hard on yourself. Right? Just start there. Like, oh, okay, this is what I do. Can you just accept that? And can you have some kindness towards that? So I'll stay up here if you have some questions. Otherwise, I wish you all a lovely evening. Thank you.